quite sung that song often enough that we're familiar with the words, so we have to get stuck to the words. I don't think I need to apologize, but I want to tell you ahead of time, I got some terrible news. One of my closest friends in the whole world, Pat Nelson, passed away earlier this afternoon. Some of you might remember Pat from Peach Valley or from Alcoa. Some of you might remember him from there. He was an elder in Palacios when I was hired over there, and so long ago. He and I became very, 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 very close. He was as close to an older brother as I ever had. We hunted together, I guess, 12 or 15 years in a row. We had a lease together. We fished. We just did a lot of things. I preached the wedding of both of his daughters. I preached his wife's funeral. And it just really took me aback. He has been suffering with Alzheimer's for some time. And when I would talk, especially to the older daughter, Cindy, I would say, now, if he's ever having a real good day, tell him hi for me. Well, the last time I saw her, and I can't remember now, I'm sure it was a funeral. No, I believe it was our singing. It was our singing. She said he was having a real good day, and he mentioned me by name. So that made me feel just really, really good. But every time I was trying to concentrate on my study today, I would think about some of the neat things that Pat and I did. And then I got another text, another one of the ladies from Palacios that I love dearly, Rita Williams, passed away. You might remember Rita only by illustration. One time I was preaching over there, we were trying to raise enough money to build our annex, and we were going to raise the amount of money we needed in one Sunday. So what I told the men who were waiting on the Lord's table, let's go ahead and pass the bread and the cup, then go ahead and sit down after the sermon, because I was going to preach on let's raise this money today. After the sermon, we'll get you to come up and pass the tray. And I was sitting up on the front row, and after we passed the bread and the juice, she tapped me on the shoulder with her check. She said, "They forgot to get my check." I said, "Well, they didn't forget, but anyway." So I will always remember Rita. They had moved to Violet, Louisiana, so I had kind of lost track of her, but that took me back also. I'm sure all of you know I don't like to preach negative sermons. I really believe that if a preacher tries hard enough, he can preach the same information in a positive way that he can in a negative way. Now, I will freely admit that sometimes we need to punctuate our positive sermon with negative statements. And that's what Jesus did. You remember, he said, "Blessed is he that confesses me before men." And then he said, "Cursed is he that denies me before men." So Jesus did accentuate or punctuate his positive teaching with a negative statement. But I like to keep my lessons as positive as I can. Now, having said that, let me give you an advance notice. My opening statement in a few moments is going to be about as negative as anything I have ever said. But I've designed it to be that way. I've designed it to cause us to think seriously about Christianity. And brethren, not everyone wants to think seriously about Christianity. But this thought process comes from what I'm using as our text. And if you want to turn to it, do so. Hold your finger there. We'll be referring back to this area of Scripture soon. James chapter 1, verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will, now in the context, he's talking about God. It's God's will. God brought us forth by the word of truth. We're going to talk about that phrase, word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, and we'll talk about that also. What James is saying here is that when we find the word of truth, and what would be the word of truth? Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God." Jesus is the Word of God. He prayed, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So James is saying, when we find the gospel message, when we find Jesus, the word of truth, and when we accept it as the word of truth, then we need to become first fruits of God's creatures. First fruits here meaning to be an example. We need to be an example of what Christianity is all about. Now here's my negative statement. We're not going to stay on it very long. There's a difference between Christians. No, let me change that. There's a difference between church people who are hearers of the word and church people, Christians, who are not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And there's a difference. And we know the difference. And we know what group we're in. And we know what group we need to be in. But there is a difference between being a hearer of the word and a hearer of the word who is also a doer of the word. And if you notice, I've still got my fists clenched. I'm not pointing fingers at all. But we know the difference. We know where God wants us to be. And we know where we are. Now, let's change the mood. Let's move away from anything negative. Let's move to things that are extremely positive. If we find ourselves in this wrong group, hearers of the word, God will be glad to help us change groups. If we find ourselves over here, God will be more than happy to help us change groups. Brethren, that is as positive can be. Now let me give you this simple truth. If we remain in this wrong group, it's probably because we think religion is all about me. Our life is all about me. What can I get out of it? What's in it for me? Brethren, what we need to realize is it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the church. We're here to worship God and serve Jesus and be faithful to our congregation when our congregation is faithful. Let's not be naive. If we're looking for a relationship with God, I can't say, what's in it for me? It has to be, what does God want from me? Where do I find myself in God's plan? And just like I said a moment ago, God will be happy to help us get out of that wrong group and into the right group. He will be equally as happy to help us find our place in His plan. And brethren, everyone here on a Sunday night in the summertime wants to have a place in God's plan. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Otherwise, we certainly wouldn't be listening to the preacher. And as I look out, everyone is looking, I'm assuming. No, I know you're listening. We want to go to heaven. And here's the most positive thing anyone can say. God wants us to go to heaven. And that's why He sent Jesus, John 3:16. Even while we were in sin, He sent Jesus, Romans 5, verse 8. We can go to heaven. God will help us go to heaven. We want to go. God wants us to go. What's holding us back? The only thing that could be holding us back is self. Brethren, if I don't make it to heaven, if you don't make it to heaven, we will have someone to blame. And it's going to be me, or it's going to be you. Because the devil knows all of that also. And I'm not going to say the devil's going to crawl up on my shoulder and whisper in my ear. He doesn't do it that way. But he does attempt to influence us. And he's going to tell you the same thing he's going to tell me. Shan, you have the right to make your own decisions in life. And you know what? He's right. But he wants me to make all my decisions based on physical. You know, what can I get out of life? If I do this, what am I going to get? If I buy this, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? If I do this or buy this or go here or go there, he wants me to base all my decisions on me. What can I do? God, on the other hand, wants us to make our own decisions, but to base them on the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. That has to be the guiding light in our life. But let's see what the Bible says. We were in James 1 a moment ago. Let's stay there. Let me back down, or let me slip down to verse 22 and start reading there. Therefore, James says, we need to lay aside all filthiness and the abundance of wickedness and receive with meekness the, this translation says, the implanted word. I like the old King James. It says the engrafted word. Now, I've never tried this myself, but I understand it works. If you have a very healthy, good pecan tree and you have one who maybe is not so healthy, you can take one of the healthy branches of that tree and cut it in a V and then find a place on a good healthy branch on this healthy tree and cut out a little V, and you can put those two V's together, and I don't know what you wrap them with, but that engrafting allows the good branch to start growing on this good tree. That's what James is talking about, being engrafted, being connected to the good tree. This translation says implanted. New King James also says implanted. King James says engrafted. But it, that grafting together, is what is able to save our souls. James 1, 22 through 25. And that's what he said in our text a moment ago. God brought us forth by the word of truth. That's that implanted, engrafted word. And James continues, be ye doers of that word, and not hearers only. And if we're not doers, we're deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, and I'm going to paraphrase now, it's like getting up in the morning and looking at ourselves in the mirror and then leaving for work and forgetting what we look like. Maybe we would like to, I don't know, but forgetting what we look like. James says, but if we look into the perfect law of liberty. Well, if it's the law of liberty, it must be the New Testament. It must be Christianity. If we look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in the perfect law of liberty and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, we will be blessed in what we do. Verse 26, if anyone thinks they are religious and does not control their, I'm going to say their life. King James says, bridle not your tongue. But if we don't control ourselves, we're deceiving our own heart, and our religion is useless. It's in vain. It's not good for anything. Brethren, that's pretty negative. But he makes the point. I remember one time I was at Peach Valley with a teenage session, and I'm almost sure Ken and Nancy were there. Probably some of you also were there that week. We went through a phase. Where you need to watch me now. All of the teenage girls accidentally twisted their ankles. Almost all of them accidentally twisted their ankles. Well, with their ankles hurting so badly, they needed one of those strong teenage boys to pick them up at the front door of the dorm and carry them over to the cafeteria and then carry them down to the chapel and then carry them out to the softball park so they could watch the softball game because their ankles hurt so bad. Well, when that phase passed in a couple of days, I think the boys are the ones that said, hey, we need to stop this. All the girls gave it up except one. She was clinging to that sprained ankle. And who knows, maybe she really did have a sprained ankle, but it must not have been that bad. Finally, we told her, we're sorry your ankle is hurt. We really are, but we can't have the boys, you know, at your beck and call. We've got them things to do. They need to do it. So you're either going to have to just sit in the cafeteria or sit in the dorm all day long by yourself because we can't go on like that. Well, almost miraculously, her ankle got well that very day. My point is, God doesn't want to carry us around like little babies. And that's what that girl was doing. That's what those girls were doing. They wanted to be carried around like a little baby. God doesn't want us to be little babies, much less for him to carry us around. He wants us doing the things we should be doing and working the works we should be doing and reaching out to the lost and saving souls. Now the question is, if I am not a doer, how do I become a doer? Now, I don't think any of us need a definition of the word doer. A doer does, you know. He doesn't sit, he doesn't wait, he does. So that's what we need. We need people in the church who are doers. We need some people who are active in the work of the church. We need a lot of people. That we need everyone to be active in the work of the church. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, everyone then who hears these sayings of mine, hears this teaching of mine, and does it, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And Jesus is that rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it stood. Why? Even our little bitty VBS kids know why. It was founded on the rock, and Jesus is that rock. Brethren, God's teaching here is just too simple to miss. Once we hear God's word, then we need to start doing it. We can't just hear all the time. We have to do it. We can't wait until, well, I'm waiting until I get more mature in the Lord. No, we need to start doing immediately. Well, I need to wait until I get settled. No, we need to start doing immediately. We need to be, as Peter said, those newborn babes in Christ that demand, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I was watching the History Channel just the other day, and I hope this story is true. It was portrayed as being true. I hope that it is. I don't remember if they were Allied bombers, but I don't remember if they were American bombers, but they were Allied bombers. They went on a bombing run over Germany, and they were shellacked with anti-aircraft bullets, whatever you would call them, anti-aircraft bullets. But none of the bullets blew up. That's how they're designed. As soon as impact, then they blow up, and that's what will bring the bomber down. None of them blew up, and they didn't know why. Once they got back, very carefully, they removed some of the shells, and they opened them up. They forgot to put the firing pins in the bullet. Or did they? It seems that a concentration camp full of Czech prisoners deliberately and secretly left the firing pins out of those German bombs, those German shells, and they even found a note. This is all we can do for now. We hope we can do more later. Brethren, I'll assure you, every congregation in the brotherhood would grow if we had that attitude. This is what we can do now, and we're going to do even more in the future, because the fields are always white under harvest. This is about my favorite time of the year, as Linda and I travel back and forth home and here. We watch the cotton grow, and we watch the maize grow, and we watch the corn grow. We didn't have anything else except those three crops. Well, then they cut down the maize, and now they've cut down the corn, still waiting for the cotton. But it's just exciting. It seemed like every time we drive by, those cotton plants would be maybe 6 inches or 8 inches tall. Well, that's what the Lord wants. He wants us daily harvesting the souls that are just waiting for us out there. Troy said it so well in his prayer tonight. There are people that want to study. They want to know what the Bible says, and we need to be there to tell them. So I'm asking this Sunday night group, we're the ones that need to take the lead in the growth of the church here in Port LaValle. Jesus needs us, and God needs us, and this congregation needs us. He needs us doing the word and not just hearing it. I did not mention first principles tonight, but perhaps there are some who are here who do realize that they've reached a degree of maturity, they're ready now to be baptized, or something is amiss in their life, they need to correct it. Maybe you need prayers for forgiveness or strength, whatever the case may be. If you need to respond, if you'll go ahead and come forward and sit down here, just as soon as we finish the song, I'll come and speak to you. The song is number 852. Let's stand and sing, and won't you come if you need to.